Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Charlotte, you've got some exciting news.
I do. I'm coming out with a comedy album.
What's it called?
It's called Karate.
Tell us more. Don't be coy.
I won't. I've been working on it for a little while now. I went on my first tour to work on this album. I'd never toured before, like a little baby. And I'm really proud of it. It's available for pre-order now. You can get it on charlalarson.com. And soon you'll be able to buy it on iTunes or stream it on Spotify. You can just go to my website for it.
Yeah, go to Charla's website, charlalarnston.com, for more information. And we are just, I'm so proud of you, baby.
Thank you, baby. This has been
a long time coming.
It's been a long time coming.
And I cannot be more overjoyed. I'm pre-ordering right now for myself, for other people. You should do the same. We all need more Charla in our lives. Your gift.
Pre-order so that it debuts at number one on iTunes.
Karate.
So the best thing I can do for myself and for my child and for other people, you know, Black women in particular, is to advocate for me, because when I do that, I make it easier, especially in public spaces, to for other people to advocate for themselves. I'm irreverent about certain things that maybe aren't that light because I just want people to feel normal talking about them. So like the way I tell my abortion story or dating, you know, as a parent or any number of things is just really kind of like, yeah, you know, I just want you all to feel that this is okay.
I think dudes that don't, I'm ready to drag right now. Think about a woman's pleasure are coming from a place of immaturity and insecurity. Mm-hmm. If you would like to learn, you better ask me some questions.
Absolutely.
This is The Secret Lives of Black Women. I'm Charla.
I'm Lauren. Today's conversation really took a turn. We have Jamila Lemieux in the studio with us today, and we were planning to talk to her about her social media presence and
her writing,
her activism.
But of course, a bunch of Black women got in the studio. Things took a turn. It turned into a conversation about consent.
Consent, body autonomy, abortion rights, and getting older.
Yeah.
It was, I'm excited for you guys to listen.
We're not going to ruin it for you anymore.
We're not going to, but we are going to tell you a little bit about Jamila before we get into it. She is a writer. She's had a huge presence on Twitter. She's been a senior editor for Ebony Magazine. She served as the communication and engagement strategist to Cynthia Nixon's campaign for governor. She's appeared as a commentator on various programs from CNN to ABC, BET, MTV, and everything in between. If you don't already, do yourself a huge favor and follow her on Twitter at Jamila Lemieux. I mean, I've followed her on Twitter since like day one. I'm like a Twitter lurker. Like, I don't tweet.
me too. I've been following her for a very long time. I feel like she was like a pioneer of like Twitter.
She is. She's the reason I check the app, because I'm like, I want to see what she has to say. I want to see what like Ava has to say. I want to get like a little bit of news. But it's definitely my very curated Black woman space of knowledge, wit, and presence. It's time. Let's just get into it.
Let's get into it.
You tweet about real shit like feminism, women's right to choose, like being a Black woman, and you get attacked for it in a way that sometimes I'm like, this is unsafe. I personally feel that you are attacked so much because you are a Black woman and people think that they can get away with it. And do you think that that factors in terms of the trolls?
Absolutely. They know that they can get away with it. They know, like, social media, Twitter in particular, gave Black women a microphone that we've never had before. You know, we had our magazines and our websites and our, you know, our kitchen circles and beauty, you know, beauty shops and churches and spaces of influence, but we never really had like the ability to challenge multinational corporations, you know, to challenge rappers and
create whole movements. With the words.
Yeah. Like, I've been on Twitter since 2008. And I've been a feminist. I'm recently 35. Oh my God, I don't know how it happened, but somehow I'm now 35 years old.
Congratulations.
And thank you. I suppose. I've been on Twitter since I was 25, right? And I've been a feminist since I was like 12, you know, and using that language. And back then, it was almost like my family wanted to sit down with me and be like, what's up? Because where did this come from? And is somebody influencing you? And, you know, and I had like activist parents, you know, so it wasn't that the idea of like being politically or socially engaged was foreign to them. But feminism for so long had been, you know, thought of to be white women's territory and not out of animus towards white women specifically, but just the idea that like the values and the things that it advocated for did not serve us or were not in our best interest, which is completely, you know, antithetical. Like it's to the truth. Like
Black people are also very religious. And I feel like so many of those rules are in religion.
Absolutely.
About the man's role, about the woman's role, and yeah. it feels like an affront to culture, I feel like, to older Black women sometimes.
Absolutely. And as somebody who's from a family, my nuclear family, like my parents' respective households are not religious. My mother was not raised in the church. My father was not raised in the church. My father practiced Yoruba for many years, but like and did not choose to integrate children into it. Kind of allowed us to have our own, you know, faith walk. But like, even with that, just kind of how those values are so pervasive. So like, saying that I was a feminist a decade ago was like, I think like people are like, oh, you get a lot on Twitter now. It's like, yeah, the volume is crazier, but like the ratio of negative engagement versus positive engagement, I would say has to some extent shifted. You know, like I've watched men and women, like I've watched people's attitudes change. And I'm so grateful to be a part of that, you know?
Yeah, well, it's an open space to get education and like education that's real.
Yeah.
From people that look like you, that sound like you, whose experiences you relate to. And I feel like for a generation of young women to see a feminist idea and know that it's just like Black women have always been a part of this movement.
Yep.
And have been like fighting for it, and change happens with us. And it's just like, well, you don't learn that. Yeah. In a lot of environments. So I think that having voices like you and a lot of other Black women on social media has really helped spread. I feel like it's a new generation of young people that feminism is not a bad word.
Yeah, I agree.
But in that, I have a question of just how do you find that balance to take care of yourself? You have a child, you have a family, you're 35 and you're trying to live.
Shit.
Like, how do you do it, you know?
Oh, God, I'm 35, y'all. But, like, it just sounds so severe when you say it. Like,
no, oh, I think God. That's no. awesome.
I guess.
35. Like, is that better?
Wow, no. I think I'm just going to start saying I'm in my 30s. You know, I'm in my 30s.
What's wrong with 35? Like, what's wrong with it?
So my mother had me at 36.
Mm.
And for years, she told me she was 35. I remember when I was 7. I'm like, Mommy, how old are you? She's like, I'm 35. I was like, okay. You know, and then like one day I was like, wait. She can't be 35. She had me. She was 35. But I think for some reason that age, well, one, it's the end of 18 to 35, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the end of what we think of as youth. You know, I think we live younger in certain ways, in good and bad, like in New York in particular, especially with men, but also with a lot of women, we have space to be noncommittal and you know, our men get like an extended puberty period. They can just kind of play around and do whatever they want because they don't have to think about fertility. But I don't know, I just always associated like 35 with like being grown. And I've been grown for a long time. But like when my friend, like when I turned 30, like people were like, oh my God, 30's yeah. coming, 30. Like I was like, oh, okay, but I had a child at 28. So I was like, I've been 30, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but 35, I don't know, it's weird. Just kind of.
Yeah. Well, I think it's I mean, like, an older black woman told me, well, I'm happy because when I turned 30, I was freaking out. Mm-hmm. I'm 33 now, and I, like, fucking so thankful that I'm in my 30s and I'm not in my 20s anymore.
You know, 30s is really good.
Because 20s was a mess. But she was like, be happy. She's like, you fucking survived a new year, and that's a huge accomplishment. Each year you get older, like,
I have such a different view of celebrate aging, it. And I wonder if it's because I'm 32, and I wonder if it's because I haven't hit an age yet that is scary to me. And it's probably also because inside I've always been an old lady. Like, I feel like I've been shouldering responsibility since I was a child.
Yeah.
My parents came here. My mom had me when she was 17. Mm-hmm. My parents came here when I was 4 from Haiti. So I feel like I've always kind of been an adult to a certain extent. I've always kind of had to navigate for my parents because we spoke English earlier than my parents did. Mm-hmm. And then when I had younger siblings, I was taking care of them. And, like, I don't know. I feel like when I turned 27, I got my first writing job. And this was I finally started to make money. Yep. And, like, 30 felt good because 30 felt like, it kind of felt like I can rest now. Yeah. And, like, 30 felt like I'm freer than I've ever been. I have the most money I've ever been. I look forward to aging. I'm just like, this is great.
I don't know. 35. I'm aging is a blessing. I have friends who did not make it to 30. You know what I mean? Yeah. I have friends who did not make it to 35. I think, one, there's some things I just haven't checked off my list yet that I'm like, damn, this was, I thought I was going to have it done. You know, I knew I have it done by 30.
What did you want to check off your list?
I haven't published a book yet.
All right.
I haven't started a podcast yet.
All right.
I have not gotten married yet, even though I'm kind of like, now's a good time. You know, I mean, the original plan was before having a baby, but life happens. And I have such a great co-parenting situation. Like, I don't know that I would have enjoyed being a full-time parent at 28. Like, the fact that it's like I've been a mom with training wheels on, you know, because, like, I can't tell you how few times I've had my child 7 days out of a week over the course of her life.
You've been able to maintain a sense of self and freedom.
Yeah, like, I, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You know what I'm saying? Like, secret lives of black women. Yeah, there, as much as I would love it to have somebody there when I'm sick to take care of me. Totally. And that just sometimes I feel very alone and kind of by myself in the world in certain ways. The flip side of that is that, like, you know, for a lot of people, once you've, like, completed your family to some extent or you've got that unit, like, some of that other stuff just dies altogether. Yeah. You know, so the fact that I'm still, like, on, you know, certain nights out of the week, I'm completely selfish and I'm spending the night at somebody else's house and, you know, not thinking about anyone else's needs. Or rather, I'm always thinking of my child, but I'm not, like, directly responsible for her needs right now. I can just think of my own.
And ain't nothing wrong about not thinking about your needs for a moment.
Of course.
Moms always have so much guilt.
We do.
So much guilt, even though you give so much love. You brought a human into the world.
I did. You're right. And I'm feeling guilty, like, yo, I didn't really think about myself.
Just enough.
I did my part. I do your part. And I do it constantly.
You're like, I got a functioning, kind human. I can, like, not think. They're cool. They're with the person.
They're good. They're safe. Like, she's not with babysitter. Yes. She's, like, with her father. Yeah, you know, she's a stepmom. Like, she's loved. She's cared for. So
I also think of you. It's so interesting to listen to you talk because I followed you. We've both followed you for so long. Yeah. And I always, I think of you as such a pioneer. You know, like, I feel like I was watching you do stuff on Twitter or use it as a platform before I saw other people really doing it. You know, like, I feel like you kind of showed a lot of us how to, like, use it to lift ourselves up, frankly, you know, and, like, give ourselves clout, frankly, and, like, be like, I'm here, I'm good at what I do, and you should hire me and give me money.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's what I've tried to do. I will say, you know, where I wish that I were stronger is I don't have the business mind, you know, like, I'm a left brain. So
That's honest. There are
people that are not as talented or insightful. But they're like, what I understood was, like, I'm going to build a website, and I'm going to create this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to create these platforms and monetize them immediately. For me, it was kind of like the art, you know, and the art for me is just the language. You know, it's having these conversations and expressing these ideas. And some of it is just like, hey, you know what really grinds my gears? You know, like, there's not always an agenda or a big thought or plan behind, like, okay, today I'm going to tweet about this, right? Usually it's just kind of like how I'm experiencing or feeling. I'm irreverent about certain things that maybe aren't that light because I just want people to feel normal talking about them. So, like, the way I tell my abortion story, for example, or you know, how I might talk about casual sex, you know, or dating, you know, as a parent or any number of things, is just really kind of like, yeah, you know, I just want you all to feel that this is okay. And you don't have to make the same decisions that I've made. You don't have to like them. You know, you should respect them. And also you should consider them as options for yourself.
We'll be back with Jamila right after this break. And now we're back. I've listened to you share your abortion story, and I don't remember your direct quote, but it's genius. And it's like, I regret getting
So I remember exactly, because I had it in my head long. Like, it was a legitimate thought. It wasn't even like something I planned for. You know, it was just kind of like one day I was just kind of thinking of like, well, how would I describe this experience? And when I was a junior in high school, I put a pair of either Gucci or Prada sunglasses on layaway at TJ Maxx. They had to have been maybe, I'm trying to think of like now, you know, this was before like the designers were making sunglasses and stuff specifically for those stores.
And like layaway, that's the thing I did when I was growing up, is layaway still exists.
They still have layaway. Whoa. I haven't used it in a while. I've thought about it. I think about it all the time. And I'm like, just wait till you have it. Just wait till you have it. Then you nickel and dime what you were going to spend away on something else. Mm-hmm. But back then it was like, yeah, you know, I want this thing. I'm going to put it on layaway. And like, oh, you don't come across these all the time. This is kind of special. And I would never have money to buy these things from, you know, Sunglass Hut or wherever. So put them on layaway and I paid them off and I got them. And I just kind of was like, or I could have $200 in my pocket, right? You know, and I looked at the guy, I was like, oh, I don't love them. I'll probably lose them. So I just took the money and I'm sure I fucked it off on Frappuccinos and CDs, you know, and like some $10 sunglasses, right? And to this day, I'm like, damn, those could have been like dope vintage, right? You know, like if I had, you know, not lost them, and I lost the sunglasses I bought from Nordstrom like last week. So I probably would not still have them all these years later. But I regret that. I think about that and was like, that was a mistake. What I do not have any regret for is my abortion. You know, like, it was like,
I forgot we were even talking about abortion.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, these damn sunglasses, right? But I think I'm passionate about, like, why did I do that? You know, why didn't I keep them? Why didn't I, or all the time, I can think about things over the years that I wish I bought, or things that I'd said to people that I'm like, did this change the trajectory of our relationship? Or maybe this was the mistake I made that was kind of, you know, the final flaw. Jobs that I'm like, maybe I should have applied for that, or maybe I shouldn't have written that. Like, I have a lot of regrets. I certainly have a lot of regrets. But when I think about my abortion, it's like, oh yeah, I was pregnant. I didn't want to be pregnant.
And I made a decision.
And I made a decision. And it was like, no big deal. It was less smart. Like, I'm like, I've had pedicures that were more painful, you know what I mean, or uncomfortable than like my abortion. It was just a thing that needed to be done.
I always feel like fetus deletus. People talk about abortion, they don't think about the situation of the mom. Like, I'm lucky enough to never have been in that situation, but I imagine if I was, I would be scared. I would be nervous. I would be like freaking out about all of the things that come with it because of all the stigma that comes with it.
And you shouldn't.
And that's the thing. It's just like, at the end of the day, it's just like, that's a mom's life. Like, this is your whole life, and it'll change your whole life if you bring a child into this world. Yeah, and it should be your choice.
It must be your choice.
Also important to see a full spectrum of experience, because I feel like the only experience we ever hear about with abortion of just like, oh my gosh, I was like, I was so nervous and I was so scared and I hated it. Mm-hmm. Some people are just like, I didn't want this kid. Yeah. I got an abortion and I've moved on with my life. And that's like,
real talk. I know that I would be scared and nervous because I was brought up super religious. And I would be thinking about, I don't know. Like, I'd be thinking about
the hand of God right there.
The ghost baby that's not here. And I'm just like,
I believe that intellectually you know better, but in your heart it's hard to shake that.
That's exactly what it is. It's like, it's hard to shake the way that I was brought up, but I know that it's not a big deal.
But which when you hear
mean to say, it I doesn't feel mean sound, to say it. You know?
It doesn't sound mean to say, because I think when you hear other people's experiences, because we have all this internalized like shame from external sources.
We do.
So even if your experience was like, I feel fine, I actually want to go get a Frappuccino right now. I want to go shopping. After you do it, you may feel bad because you feel like society wants you to feel bad about the experience.
Yes. Exactly. Even
and when you
know
hear
what?
Your story, you're like, actually, it's okay for me not to feel bad. I'm not like, alone in that.
Yeah, and that's why I shared it, you know, because it happened in 2015 and I didn't talk about it publicly until, well, actually, the first time I talked about it publicly, I hadn't had it yet. I was actually pregnant still.
No way. But yeah. You knew you were going to get it.
I knew I was going to get it. Yeah. One of my dear friends, Alencia Johnson, who just left Planned Parenthood to go
I
to.
I know Alencia.
She's awesome. Yeah. She just left for Elizabeth Warren's campaign. You know,
I got my IUD from Planned Parenthood.
Nice.
And it rocked.
Yes. They rock. They do important work. And especially, you know, one, they treat people of all gender expressions, including a lot more cishet black men. Mm-hmm. You know, that
I love Planned Parenthood. Girl.
Me too.
I use it all the time.
Me too. I'm like, where y'all at standing up for it, though? Because a whole lot of men are using their services. But when, you know, they're under the gun, it's the same old crowd, you know, saying save and protect Planned Parenthood. But anyway, she...
Men also, their lives are saved, too, by women not carrying a baby to term. Why does a dude never have to take responsibility? Like,
never.
Just because we're the vessels that carry the baby, we have to carry the weight of choosing
of everything that comes with it.
Jesus.
Or even if they have no problem paying for an abortion, supporting an abortion, going with you having an abortion, but like, with, you know, this recent onslaught of anti-choice legislation, particularly in Georgia. This is the first time I ever saw as many men speaking out about it. And
I'm working with one dude right now who was talking. He said he was talking about an experience he had, and he said we had an abortion. And I was just like, I've never heard a dude say that. And it literally blew me away. And I was it made me excited because I was just like, maybe things are changing.
I think they slowly are. You know, I think they are slowly. And yeah, you're right. It's because I always felt weird about we were pregnant or we got pregnant. We, you know, like, we only had to do the physical stuff, you know. But, I think it's time that we do say we, right? Or that we change just... that we do a better job or that men do a better job of including themselves in that narrative, whether you chose to have a child, you know, chose not to have a child or the child survived or not, that this was a shared experience. And if you're not able to talk about it in shared terms, then there's a good chance that the woman experienced that by herself, you know, to some extent, or that you weren't as present as you should have been. But something you said before, like, not only do you typically hear about abortion in terms of, you know, the trauma, it was sad, I was scared, I hated it, it was uncomfortable. But like, even more than that, I hear, I was so young, I was so scared, I was so broke, there was no way I could be a mother, you know, like,
irresponsible.
Yeah, I was irresponsible.
I didn't have my life together.
Whereas I absolutely had my life together. I had a child.
Oh,
I had a great,
God.
You know what I mean? Like, she's in a healthy, great, like, the person who we were not dating seriously, but he is a man of means, and that could have changed not just, you know, creating a good life for this new baby, but perhaps changing, you know, my daughter's lifestyle. This is somebody who maybe now both our kids are in private school, and maybe, you know, I absolutely would have had a nanny and things I didn't have with her. The only reason to have a child is because you want one.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's the thing that people get stuck on. I remember, especially when I was in my like mid-20s, and now I know people were lying. You know what I mean? But like back then, I remember hearing my friends say, well, I just feel like I'm too old to have an abortion now. Like, I've got a good job, you know, I've got a man, or I could, you know, even if I didn't have a man, I could take care of it. And I would always be like, this is not a reason to have it. Like, a child is not like a punishment for, you know, either being irresponsible or having a hiccup. Right. Or just something, or birth control failing, because that happens too. Like, you should have a child because you want a child. Like, my daughter was not planned. She was a complete accident. It took me 6 weeks to decide. You know what I mean? Like, I took as much time as I had, you know, to really be like, am I sure? You know, like, it doesn't look like this relationship is going to reconcile. The father is here and present and he's going to be great, but I want to get back together and he doesn't. So I'm going into this knowing that I'm very well likely going to be a single mother. And I felt compelled to have that child. Like, my spirit, everything told me that it felt right. And I was right, you know, like, but that was a much more difficult. I made way less money at that time than I did when I'd had that, you know, the abortion. Like, again, if we're just talking about what's going to be easier, quote unquote, like, the first baby, the baby was hard as hell.
Yeah.
It was rough, but I wanted her.
How did you get to this place where you can so confidently advocate for yourself and your wants? Because I think that that's like a big distinction that I'm learning to make in my life, my needs yeah. versus my wants.
Were you always like this? Yeah. And did it take you a while to get this assertive and be this sure about what you want is what matters?
It took me a while. You know, I think part of it is, they say, you get into your 30s, it's a lot. And there's a lot stacked against us. So the best thing I can do for myself and for my child and for other people, you know, other marginalized people, you know, Black women in particular, is to advocate for me, because when I do that, I make it easier, especially in public spaces, for other people to advocate for themselves. You know, like there's no point in me having sex with somebody who doesn't care about my pleasure. Right, who's using my body to masturbate? Like, there's no reason.
That's a gospel. That's a gospel. That is a gospel.
Speak a word.
That
speak
a is word. A thing.
Oh, and I do not use my body to masturbate.
Do not use my masturbate. And I wish I cannot take credit for that language. It's funny. Like, I went on a Tinder date maybe a year ago with a guy. We had a nice time. We didn't see each other again. I don't think there was a spark, you know. But it was a really lovely conversation. And he was telling me, because I told him that I had some kind of latent interest, and I've done some damage control stuff with some notables and celebs before, but that one thing I really would like to do, like, this is the business that I need to set. I need my, so if you are the right brain person who could help me set this shit up and you're listening, please call me. But like, I would like to do work with young men in particular that are, say, recently signed athletes, entertainers, particularly rappers and R&B singers, and talk to them about their interpersonal relationships with friends as well, but in particular with women, right? Like, teaching a consent-based approach to sex.
Yes.
You know, like, how do you teach a 6'4", you know, all McDonald's All-American, you know, does 1 year in college and goes straight to a league, who's never heard no in his life, right, from the moment that he had a wingspan of a man twice his age, you know, at 12, and a jump shot, that yes doesn't always mean yes.
Yes. Yeah. Picking right? up the social cues of enthusiastic consent. Enthusiastic and even consent. Once you have that enthusiastic consent, recognizing that checking that still in. Needs to be placed in the bedroom. Like,
right.
not being informed of, like, is this woman actually enjoying herself
right.
and her experience? Because that's like, that's going to get you off.
It should be the thing that gets you off.
But I have a theory about consent, because as far as I'm concerned, consent is just a basis of respect mm-hmm. for the other person that you're
absolutely.
Having sex with. And that respect includes seeing them as a full human being
yes.
whose pleasure is as important as your own.
That's absolutely
which that's what it is to me. And my theory is that I don't know if men are good enough for yeah. it to change without women being financially powerful, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like the more money and more powerful women become, the less option they have to not respect women on that same level. Because I feel like I'm constantly listening to men. Like, I've been in, like, conversations where I'm the only lady and I'm listening to dudes talk about women as if they're another species.
Absolutely. Good men.
Good men.
Not just nice, the bad guys.
Not just the perfectly nice yeah. men. And you start to hear their thinking and I'm just like, oh no.
But then yeah. those are good men who still need to, like, relate women to, like, there are wives, daughters, and mothers,
yes.
or they're just
versions
a fucking
of
person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Just
they're
like,
a
she's
human.
Just a person.
Yeah. Yes.
Like,
you don't have
like
to be, you know, as the father of a daughter, as the
yes.
son of a mother,
yes.
as a husband. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, most men do not see women as people,
yeah.
like, period, full stop, you know, and God forbid we add some other stuff to it. Like, so you're a white cishet.
Yep.
You know, able-bodied, middle-class guy, and this is a Black, poor, queer, trans woman. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
But in general, men do not see us as women. So, yeah, like, centering our pleasure as part of our own, you would think, like, yes, the best sex I've had was when we were both, like, really into each other,
yeah.
you know, whether it was a spiritual connection or just a physical one. Maybe we were just buddies, but we were sharing this experience, right? Like, not using in the language when I was
yeah.
telling the guy, I was like, yeah, I want to do this thing. And you know, I want to talk to them about, like, constantly checking in and you know, obtaining enthusiastic consent constantly,
yeah.
not just at the bar, not just in the car, but also in the bedroom, but also beyond consent, like, I can consent to the act of sex, but that doesn't mean that you have put forth any effort into making sure that I enjoy it. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, I've consented to sex with men and been like, he ain't tried to do nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I have my bound. Like, one thing that it happened to me exactly once and it has not happened again, which is I went down when I was in college. I went down on somebody who, and that was it. Like, he was like, okay, we're done here. And I was like, wait, what? You know, so I thought we were going to have sex, and like, let alone him going down on me. And I was so traumatized by that. So I'm like, you got to do it first.
You got to do it first. She got rules now.
You
got,
you know, like that for me is like a hard, firm rule. Like, you're not going to use my body to masturbate.
Right.
With.
I think dudes that don't, I'm ready to drag right now. Think about a woman's pleasure are coming from a place of immaturity and insecurity. Mm-hmm. Like, they're so self-centered and immature that they don't want their ego bruised.
Yeah.
In case you're not having fun. Yeah. Which means to me that you don't want to learn, sir.
You don't want
to
learn.
It's just like, sir, if you would like to learn, you better ask me some questions.
Absolutely. Yes.
I'm talking as if I'm like a sex goddess.
Yeah, well, maybe
In my mind, I am.
It's, you know, it's sad because, like, I think, so much of prevention for, you know, STIs, unwanted pregnancies, you know, even sexual assault is rooted in, or so much of the messaging around preventing those things is telling women to keep their legs closed. And I'm like, no, I'm here to tell you to open your legs. But discernment is important. And so discernment is not the absence of sex positivity. It's not the antithesis of sex positivity, right? You can be free. You can do what you want. But you have to ask yourself, does this person respect me as a human being, number one? And number two, does he care about my pleasure? And number three, like, does he really respect me as a human being? Because, like, okay, we're not boyfriend, girlfriend, but if we're having sex, you know, if we've had sex and... Are you concerned that I made it home safely?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or that if I had a lot to drink, that I've had some Gatorade? Or, you know, are we going to get something to eat in the morning? Or, you know, go get coffee? Or are you,
like a done? And basic respect of humanity.
Basic respect.
Human, yeah. And, like, the bar is truly the floor.
Hey,
just text me to make sure that I, like, got home, yeah. You know?
But it's on the floor.
It's so important and vital for you to do that work.
Yes, I've trained a good number of women in the greater New York City area, so you're welcome.
You're welcome. Venmo me, yeah. PayPal.
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
Once again, going back to the subject of emotional labor, like, you're doing this work and you're making these men better for it. But, like, come on, be honored for the labor that I'm putting in. And I'm just happy that you want to have this conversation with young boys, because I feel like this... It's always with girls.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, we know, we're informed about, like, and when I go to a party, I need to be, like, you know, in college, I need to be aware of all of these things if I'm, like, you know, but I feel like who's having these conversations with, like, young men?
I went to drinks recently with a delightful young man, and we went to the bat. We stepped outside to smoke weed, and I said, okay, well, we went to keep our table, so I put napkins over our drinks and, like, you know, poked the straw through. And he was like, oh, that's clever. And I was like, you ain't never had to think about that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, you had to think about, and again, if I'm the roofie guy, like, I can, you know,
lift
still maneuver around that. But if somebody's watching you do that, that's a lot different than just like, hey, I can just pop this thing and, you know, in her drink and her, she doesn't see it. Yeah, it's just that there's so much that we've had to think about, and we're failing, like, training girls not to be raped.
Yeah.
Is a mistake.
It's
not how it works.
So, Jamila, what's your secret?
My secret is I've learned to be selfish and, or I should say, self-involved and altruistic all at once. So I give people the world. I serve. I support. I help by standing in the gap. I also am incredibly in tune to my needs and wants and desires and dreams. And you can do both of those things all at once, and you will drop the ball. You will let yourself down. You'll let other people down. But I think by being intentional about serving both masters, yourself and the world around you, you can improve things for other people, perhaps, and certainly have a life of your own that you can enjoy and be proud of.
Man, well, that was a word.
I mean... That's advice to take. I mean, that's going to go on a quote on our social media feed. That's just needs to be, like, hang it up on your walls. Like, be selfish. We're never told to be selfish.
Yeah. And it's
just
wrote
selfish.
Down, serve two masters.
Aww.
No one ever tells you that.
No.
You can do both. That's true.
You can do both.
Yeah.
You can do both.
Jameela Lemieux, we are so thankful that you exist in this world and that you share yourself and that you advocate.
Yeah, very grateful for your time today. Thank you.
And thank you for including me so early in your journey with this podcast.
Oh, you were on the top dream list. We made our list of dream guests, and you were definitely at the top. So thank you for being here and making the time.
Fulfilling our wish,
yes.
Thank you.
Whoa. That conversation did not go how I thought it was going to go.
That's my favorite thing. I love when someone comes in the studio and they just feel, it feels just like a conversation with girlfriends.
Yeah.
And just full disclosure, listener, so we start each session with like, this is what we want the conversation to sort of like be about. And this one was, it went off in new directions that, but I feel like were
much better
than
what I could have imagined.
Sometimes the best plan is just throwing away your fucking plan.
Exactly. But she just came in here like, this is me, this is it, and I loved it.
I just appreciated it. And I think it was also ended up being a far more important conversation.
I agree. She actually made me think about abortion in a way that I hadn't thought about it. And
how
I think
so?
It's because I'm conditioned, or like, you know, our culture makes us think about it in this super emotional way. Like, she made me think about it from my perspective. I don't think I've ever had the luxury of just thinking about it in terms of what do I want. You know, I'm always thinking about it in terms of like, what does the community want from me? And the community wants from me, I feel like they want me to just be like a baby machine. And if I'm not doing the baby machine thing, then I have to apologize for it.
Well, I feel like it's also a part of like the destigmatization of like abortion and just like women's reproductive health in general, which I feel like as Black women, we need to talk about much more, because truly, if you look at just a lot of statistics that are happening, but I don't know. It's good to look at things from your own perspective instead of being, to be able to recognize that now you're like, oh, maybe how I thought about this was society's perception and not how I felt as an individual.
Well, the thing is, I'm very actively choosing not to have a baby, right? Because my mom had me when she's 17. I saw how hard it was to be a 17-year-old mom, an immigrant in this country at that. You know, it was incredibly hard. I watched my mom have it incredibly hard, and we had it incredibly hard as a result. And I choose not to, like, I have an IUD, copper one, shout out Planned Parenthood for that copper IUD. And I'm choosing actively not to have a baby because I don't want to, because I want freedom and I don't want to have that financial pressure. I don't want to have the responsibility. And I think of it as something that isn't always an easy choice. It's hard, you know, but it's just like, it doesn't have to be
that. It doesn't have to be. And I feel like I've gotten to this point through, you know, like following Jameela and like listening to her story and other women who've had similar stories. And it's just like, I made a choice and I moved on with my life.
Yeah.
And that was fine. But she also said something that caught me, because I was like, oh shit, my friends and I still do this, where we're like, oh, I guess if something were to happen, I would like keep it, because I'm just like, I'm older now. And you're just like, no, I would still think about it and make a choice. I want a child someday, like not today, but I want a child. So it's like, you know, something I think about. But I think instead of saying that, it's easier to say, well, if I were to get pregnant, then I would just like keep it.
I love the idea of having children because you want them.
Because you
Being
want
intentional
them.
Intentional about your children. I 100% have felt, because I was not planned, and I 100% have felt like I, you know, it would have been, sometimes I wish you'd planned for me. Sometimes I wish I didn't feel like an afterthought, you know, like I want to feel like, obviously I was loved. But I like the idea of thinking I want this baby, and I'm making space in my life for this baby, and I'm making space for a life, you know?
For a life. I think you said it so eloquently. It's like, you're making an intentional choice, and it's like, we want to make intentional choices in all aspects of our lives. You know, and I
Were you going to say, what do you think the word of the week is? Because I feel like I know what you think
what?
It is. Selfish.
Selfish?
Yeah.
I was going to say my word of the week is choice. And sometimes the choice is to choose yourself.
Okay, sweet. I'll choose selfish. I'll Changing choose selfish. Because yeah. I like that. That was dope.
That's dope.
I love that so much.
I hope that everyone's leaving with just a lot from this episode. Don't at us if you are anti-choice. Because we don't care.
I will not reply.
We will not reply. All right.
All right.
Bye.
Love
Go
you.
Off this
Bye.
Weekend and be selfish.
We are your hosts, Charla Lauriston and Lauren Domino. The Secret Lives of Black Women is a production of Stitcher. Our producer is Stephanie Kariuki. Our editor is Gianna Palmer. Special thanks to our chief content officer, Chris Bannon, sound designer, Brendan Burns, and our recording engineers, Jared O'Connell, Jordan Duffy, and Andy Christens. Make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at the SLBW. See you later.
Stitcher.